What's happening, everybody, and welcome to this another edition of the Dell and Keith Show. I'm Derek Kernahan, and as always, I'm joined by my very good friend, Keith Anderson. Keith, how you doing tonight, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Aye, all good, man. All good, all good. The weather is, it's been a pretty good few couple of days in Glasgow, weather-wise, for a change, so it's been nice as well, and then obviously it's nice to be back as well. It's been a couple of weeks since we've done one due to, you know, obviously families getting in the way, and last week just genuinely being pissed off that we didn't want to really talk about them. Really didn't win it.
I think, like you say, last week we had a couple opportunities, and then every time we went to, we just got too annoyed.
Yep, absolutely scunnered, which we're obviously going to talk about a bit tonight as well, and then have a chat about Sunday, which was better, but we'll discuss that in a bit more detail in a wee bit later on, and a wee look ahead to also this Sunday, away to St Mirren as well, with now the splits in the way, mate. So, will we just crack on, mate, then, or else, let's just sort of see.
Let's get into it.
Yes. So, mate, just obviously, like I said, it's been a couple of weeks since we obviously done the podcast, and since that time, there's been very much highs and lows during this as well, which has been, you know, some of the highs were pretty good, and then the lows have been absolutely ridiculous in there. You know, coming from the Celtic game, and you know, getting pretty much battered in the first half, to the comeback, and then, you know, going to 2-2, and then conceding a stupid goal straight after that to score in the 93rd minute equaliser. I wish it was a winner. You know, and then going from that, and then the next two games at Dundee and Ross County being absolutely toxic. But how's your emotions been, Keith? First of all, talking about that, you know, obviously it's been up and down, but like, sort of, how have you been feeling with the team? And then I want to discuss a bit about the team selection, because I've got quite a few things I want to say about that as well. But just sort of, how have you been feeling about all that?
In general, I think for me, I was pretty disappointed with Old Firm game. I know some people were happy about it, and obviously in game, the way that it went at various times, you were thinking that a draw looked unlikely. So, you know, there was positives, but in general, before the game, my opinion was a draw was not much better than a defeat. That's kind of how I felt after it. I was pretty annoyed. I felt that the performance was very reminiscent of previous Old Firm games, really, where
yep.
We come out, you want to come out on the front foot. We don't. We go behind. We don't start trying until we're 2-0 down. That's been a pattern over the last couple Old Firm games, including the first one under Phil at Sharkhead. Okay, yep. That time, credit to the team for getting us out of it. But we've seen the movie 10 times, and just because you get out of it once doesn't mean that it's acceptable or a good pattern. So I was feeling pretty deflated. I felt a win would have put us in a really good place where we would likely go on and win the league, because it kicks you on. You've got an extra level of belief that we would have taken from it. And obviously, you don't know, right? We can't rewrite history. But I would then have expected us and been very confident of going on to win the next two games and be 5 points clear. I felt that that's what would have happened, and we'd have been looking pretty good. As it happens, it has been a poor run in general since Motherwell, a downturn in form, certainly yeah. Performance-wise, as well as results-wise, but performance-wise especially. And that's why I kind of, you know, felt like the Ross County game has been on the cards, that those sort of performances, and it catches up with you eventually if you keep performing poorly. And then we'll come on to talk about Ross County and Dundee, but two really, really, really poor performances, even worse. Basically, the first half against Celtic continued into those two games, if we're being honest, and we were lucky to probably only lose 3-2 at Ross County. Overall, I've been feeling pretty rubbish lately with them, which is why we've not done a pod once or twice when we've had a chance. And then the weekend there was obviously better performance, and that's a better result, and it could have been even better, far from perfect. And there were some individuals that we'll talk about, good and bad, no doubts. But overall, I've been feeling pretty rubbish for the last few weeks. A wee bit perked up with Hearts, but I don't know. We'll look ahead later. But that's me. How have you been feeling in general over the last few weeks?
Fairly similar, mate. I think the Celtic, like you mentioned, I think the, you know, the the goal, you know, the Rabi Matondo goal, which was a belter, no denying it, but it sort of it covered over the cracks, didn't it, of what was a pretty disappointing day when you look at it. You know, we got absolutely hammered in that first half, and then obviously that freak goal that they scored where Tav kicks the ball from Aida's leg and, you know, if his shin and ends up in the back of the net after 20 seconds, you're like, Jesus. You know, it was just, that was everything that sort of happened, but we did get battered, you know, in that first half, then we came back out, losing a daft goal. But also, see, just before that, Keith, as well, see when we went to the, when I went to the game, I was, you know, I was optimistic because, you know, we were on a good run, you know, we sort of came back, we're top of the league, you know, we were doing well. And then I was there with my brother, and when I seen the team, I got deflated when I seen that. I mean, but Scott Wright was starting on the right wing.
Aye.
I was like, fuck, you know. I was like, the team sort of didn't fill me with confidence, and that happened the next couple of games. The team I thought that Phil picked the wrong team, you know, for a couple of games, but that sort of deflated me when I seen that. And then obviously, he takes him off after 45 minutes, and he, to be honest, he could have took a couple of players off after halftime. You know, Silva with his diving about the place, which I thought was ridiculous. Even though the penalty was a penalty, he did make a melee it, and then the ones up the other, you know, over the far end of the park from where we sit, over by an enclosure, he was ridiculous. So he could have easily got hooked at halftime. The midfield was non-existent. You know, Tav
was
terrified.
Oh,
Maida, yeah.
That's the worst fit half a football I've seen for Tav since back when he first joined, and he had that sort of, you know, he was basically a world day gone forward and me or you gone back, you know, like it was the bad old days from when Tav just couldn't defend. That first half, man, geez, oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, there was a number of Goldson as well, who's
tragic.
I think we're obviously going to talk about, because, you know, obviously now he's out the team, but we'll discuss that later on. But he's been really disappointing since he came back from since international break, and even before that, this is probably his worst season he's had as as a Rangers player, because he's been so consistent over the time. You know, it's just a, you know, just the way he, just the, he's just on a bad run of form now, which is really disappointing. And he probably, you know, he deserves his time out. But then I like to talk about something else, which we'll talk about later on when we talk about the Hearts game. But yeah, I've been really disappointed. You know, the Celtic game, I think, covered a lot of cracks. You know, it was, let's say, good resilience to get the point, you know, to come back after such a disappointment. But you know, I feel like it did cover a lot of cracks. And then going out the other two games was just awful. You know, the Ross County game, like you said, Keith, it could have been a lot more than 3-2 to them.
Should have been.
It was really disappointing. And again, the team, you know, sort of the lineup as well, didn't fill me with a lot of confidence. And then the Dundee game, I thought was effortless, aimless. You know, it seemed like there was nothing there. You know, it was, what was it? I sent you a message and it was like, you know, it was cowardless, you know, just the way that they'd done everything. There was absolutely nothing to them in that game. It was just horrible the way that they played. There was no fight, no determination in the team. I was really, really, really disappointed with them from that game. I mean, it didn't even look like they were going to score. I mean, I think the best chance, Dessers had a half a chance, and I think there was Simmer, and that was it.
And Dessers created the chance himself, really, didn't he?
He did.
I think, I mean, Ross County first, as you say, terrible. Terrible performance. But the shining light there was that we probably did have a couple of chances. Now, they had more. They had a lot more. But, you know, at 1-0, if Dessers scores the chance that one of the chances he's got, and you go 2-0, Yeah, I know they score three in the second half, but if it's 2-0 at half time, Rangers, let's be honest, everybody, including Ross County, are like, ach well, game's done. You know what I mean? And you get down the road with the points. But so we at least created Dundee, like you say. I mean, the bonus is a clean sheet, but you know, again, it was a bit of good saves for Butland and a bit of luck in some of that. But the flip side of that was that we just created nothing. Nothing at all. We didn't look like scoring. We didn't look like we had a clue how to even try to go about attacking them. It just looked like, you know, they were giving us the ball. We were like, all right, we don't know what to do with this thing. And then they were, you know, counting us and getting some half chances here and there. It was, I mean, I know we can spend a wee bit of time talking about the manager and his comments after the Dundee game, but for me, in ways, it was worse than Ross County.
Yeah. Yeah, let's what did you... Obviously, they came out and, you know, I think he had to, you know, obviously, you know, defending the players and stuff with that, saying that. I think he had to do it, but at the time, everybody was like, fuck's sake, big man, what are you playing? You know, almost, you know, these guys are, you know, a lot of them, you know, at that point, you know, it was like, this leadership team needs to go, and I agree. I think it does need to go now, because it's got to the stage now where these guys are, you know, constantly failing the fans and the team. You know, there's never, when the going gets, you know, tough, they just seem to collapse, don't they? But what did you make of, we'll talk about that, the leadership team, in a minute, but first of all, what did you make of Big Phil's comments, and then we'll talk about the leadership team.
So his comments, I think, I mean, he's got to come out and defend the players, as you say, right? He's got a cup semi-final on Sunday, or he had at that point a cup semi-final on Sunday to get them up for. There's five league games, go and win them all, and you're in with a fairly decent chance of winning the league. You know, like, he kind of come out and be like, well, we all seen it. We've got 22 diddies in there. We'll just need to rebuild in the summer and get rid of everybody. Then what's he going to do? Then he's guaranteeing that he's going to win a cup and that he's got nobody backing him in the dressing room. So obviously he can't come out and say what fans might have felt or might have wanted him to say. I think the flip side is he came out and said, that's more like it. I seen the reaction I wanted. Nobody's buying that. That's maybe a bit much. Do you know what I mean? He could have come out and said, well, I like that they kept trying, or, you know, we were solid out of possession and we didn't concede in the clean sheets. You know, he could have pointed the positives that we might have been like, well, I don't really agree, but fair enough. I think he overcooked it. My reading of that situation would be him giving it one last throw of the dice for the season, which... I can understand, and that he sent to the players, look, get there and back. You let me down on Sunday, you let me down the rest of the season, I'm going to look like a complete and utter diddy to the world. So I think it's a last throw of the dice, and if it works, it'll be a genius piece of man management. If it doesn't, at least he knows that he can tell himself and he can tell them, I gave you every chance. So I, when I first heard that, I thought that's utterly ridiculous. But then when I thought about it, I thought that's what he's doing. He's buying them cover and he's telling them, look, you need to bail me out here and not make me look like an idiot, which would mean need to see a much better reaction on Sunday. And we can talk about how better it was, if it's worked or not, as a platform to go and maybe go and win a treble from here or whatever. We'll talk about that. But that was my interpretation of it, was he was putting his neck on the line to buy them that cover and hopefully going to pay him back.
Deflecting the blame, wasn't he, in the long, you know, and hoping it would work out in the long term. Which is, you know, which is what I guess the manager is there for. I sort of get it, because, you know, people will say, well, he's the one that picks the team, he's the one that does everything like that. However, he can only do so much. He can pick the team, but then it's up to the players to, you know, to do the business on the park, which they haven't been doing now. You know, they weren't doing there for a while, you know, and obviously looking at the, you know, the leadership team, which you could easily say is the guys who are probably the longest servers, which is Tav, Goldson, Lundstrom, probably say Butland's part of that now. You know, you know, Jack, you would say, probably part of that as well. Do you think it's time, obviously with the exception of Butland, do you think it's time for these boys to, you know, to go, you know, thanks for your service, time to go and shake it up? First of all, do you think that? And else, do you think Phil will do that with this? Will we do a radical change of the leadership team, or do you think it'll be like a, you know, we know that Jack's going to go, Lundstrom's out of contract, but do you see Goldson and Tav still being here sort of thing? Or do you think they should go?
Well, what I think Phil will do, let's answer that one first. He's in a tough position, you know. He's come in and said, as a manager, clean slate, same as Gio did. Beals maybe a bit different because he knew some of them. But any new manager, like if you get the Barcelona job tomorrow, right, Xavi's leaving in the summer, whatever manager goes in there is going to say, clean slate, guys, what you do for me is what I'm going to judge you on. Because that's what managers do everywhere they go, pretty much. Yes. So he's done that. And I suppose the tricky position for him is he's starting from a place that is totally different. It's worlds a difference to where the fans were starting with these players when he came in. Do you know what I mean? So I think that he spoke very, very clearly that he wants to keep Lundstrom. I would expect a contract extension will be signed and announced. So I expect Lundstrom to be here next year. Ryan Jack is gone, right? He's been a wage thief this season, at least, if not more. My thoughts on Ryan Jack have been made clear plenty of times, but
yeah,
he'll go. So that takes care of that. The real questions are Tav and Goldson. I would be surprised if James Tavernier doesn't line up next year as the Rangers captain, if I'm being honest. Goldson's the one I think we'll see on Sunday. We'll see on Sunday how much of was he just resting him because he feels he really needs a rest, and how much is maybe he's starting to realise that Goldson isn't the best centre-half option we've got. If he doesn't start him on Sunday, that would suggest to me whether Goldson's here or not is outside our control a wee bit, because you need somebody to bid an offer that's acceptable and offer him wages that he'll accept. I would expect us to go and sign two centre-halves that come in as starters, and certainly to see centre-halves leave the club in the summer. I think if Goldson doesn't start, he's likely that we'll want to get rid of him, whether we can or we can't. As I say, it's kind of a bit out of your control, right? You can't sell something if there's not a buyer. But that's the same for Ben Davis as well, I would think. And Leon King, isn't he getting a sniff? I think those two will try to ship and will probably go. Goldson might be joining them. I don't know. I think there's a fair chance Goldson will still be here because he's on a decent wage and he seems fairly settled. He's no long bought a house, not that far from me, as it happens. So I think that he'll probably still be here, but hopefully we've signed two starters and he's not getting football in January. He's like, right, I'm not getting a game, I'm going to leave, because he wants to play a lot. Unless the manager sits him down, looks him in the eye and says, mate, you're not going to get played, I'm going to sign these other two centre-halves and you're going to be third choice, in which case I think Goldson would be happy to leave and force through a move. So that one's up in the air for me. I can see it going either way. I think Tav and Lundstrom will be here. Ryan Jack won't. Goldson 50-50 is what I think Phil will do. And then very quickly, what I would do is I'd definitely get rid of Goldson and Lundstrom. I wouldn't offer him any deal. Ryan Jack would go. I'd probably keep Tav. I don't know. Tav has had a early in the season. It was him and Sima were pretty much keeping us afloat. But you know, as the seasons went on, he's fell off a cliff a bit, I think, lately. So I don't know. We'll see. It depends what Tav looks like between now and the end of the season, if I would keep him or not. I'd be 50-50 on Tav. The others I'd be happy to see go. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm somebody that I think that you can tell that Phil likes Lundstrom. However, Lundstrom's had two good periods in the 4 years he's been here, I would say. Would you know, the period where we got to Seville, you know, that sort of end of the season, he was outstanding. And then just there when Phil came in from about October to February, he was really good. And then again, he's fallen off a cliff. So he's very, for me, he's too inconsistent to be there. I mean, he did look a bit better. I would say a bit better on Sunday. However, there was a couple of howling passes that he made.
Aye.
But was he better because he had, you know, another, a commanding centre midfielder with him and Diomande in there, you know, rather than him being the main man and, you know, relying on Lawrence Dowell even to come in and play, you know, who started against, who did Dowell start against, Ross County? Yeah, so you know, having someone in there who, like Diomande, he did look a bit better. However, for me, I'd be like, for the wages that he's on, I would let him go. And also, he's 30, 31 now, and if he wants a contract, he's going to want like a Golden-esque contract. You know, like, he's not going to take a 1 year deal. He'll probably want a 2 or a 3 year deal, at least maybe even 4 year deal. You know, that'd be done with Golden when he hit 30. So I would get rid of him.
On Lundstrom, just quickly, I see, obviously, the would you extend, would you not? Splits fans, I think more fans are starting to lean towards don't offer him a new deal. Yep. But it's certainly Splits fans, and the argument you often get is that, well, he's still been one of our better performers this year, implying, well, he's better than other players we've got, so fair enough. But I think the key point for me is when you get into the upper echelons of either the wage structure, so you're paid 30 grand a week, as opposed to Scott Wright, who's paid 2 grand a week, well, I expect something different, you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect Scott Wright to perform like I expect Tav or Goldson or Cantwell or Lundstrom or whatever, you know, like Morelos and Kent when they were here. You expect more of these guys because they get paid more. And if you're in the leadership group, quote-unquote, as a couple of managers have called it, so we might as well call it that. If you're in that zone, again, I rightfully expect more of you. So
yep.
Just because he's been better than, take your pick, he's been better in centre midfield than Leon King, but that's apples and oranges. That doesn't mean, well, you keep him and you get rid of Leon King. He's on, you know, like, why would we extend him on 30 odd grand a week? You could go and get two players for that are probably, that will do you. And let's be honest, the reason, the main games that you judge your top boys on are Europe and Old Firms. And apart from the Seville run, when IOK Lundstrom was good, this season in Europe, I think he got overrun against Benfica, and he continually gets overrun against Celtic. So if you're a core leader, spine of the team, big bucks earner, and you can't perform in decent games in Europe and against Celtic, quite truthfully, you're no use to me.
Yep, I agree. 100%.
Because you can do it against Hibs at Ibrox. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
So can Lauren, so can Dowell probably, so can Diomande, so can all these guys that are on half your wages.
Yeah.
So can Conor Barron, so can Hearts beat Hibs. Do you know what I mean? So what do we do? Do we take the Hearts squad and say, well, they beat Hibs, so they're good enough? No, these guys need to do it in the big games, and that's where they continually justify getting put out the door.
Yeah, yeah. And for the rest of them, if it was me, I would be similar to you. The only one that I would keep is probably Tav. I don't think he'll go anywhere. But Goldson, you know, he's flattered to deceive this season, and, you know, rightfully so. He lost his place for the semi-final on Sunday there. So, you know, it's an interesting one with him. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because all the managers do seem to like him. He's been ever-present with all the managers that he's had. You know, if he's fit, he plays, with the exception of Sunday, which is probably, I think, one of the first times he's been on the bench other than coming back for injury. So it was an interesting one, but I thought it was the right choice. Definitely the right choice to drop him for Sunday, which is, you know, maybe what we could discuss now, unless you have anything else you want to sort of bring up about the last two games of the, you know, the sort of leadership team. And, you know, the sort of, Keith, actually, before we do that, let's talk about, you know, the bigger squad in there. You know, like I mentioned, you know, he brung Scott Wright in, Clement brung Scott Wright in sort of out of the blue, played him for 45 minutes and then dropped him, and we've not seen him again, which is quite right because he was absolutely awful. And then he sort of done the same with Dowell, where he, you know, he brung him in against Ross County, started him in that midfield, and him and Lundstrom get overrun. And then again, we've not seen him since then. You know, he's been on the bench, but I don't think he's come on since then. And maybe he came on against, no, he didn't come on against Dundee, I don't think. So we haven't seen him since then as well. But it seems to be, you know, at that point, you know, because obviously Dio Mandy was out with his hand injury and stuff like that. He was sort of clutching at straws, you know. Simmer was just coming back in as well. But it was just, I thought it was two very, very weird changes, you know, sort of stuff that he's made that I think sort of, you know, obviously he's got a lot of credit in the bank, Phil, for what he's, you know, what he's done, you know, winning as a cup, doing that incredible comeback that he's done. He challenged for the league from where we were when Beale left. You know, he's done an incredible job and he's done well in Europe with us as well, you know, winning the group and stuff like that. But those were sort of two, I guess it sort of happened at the wrong time, you know, those sort of changes along with the defeats, you know, the sort of team selection along with the defeats is maybe, not get people questioning him or anything like that, but it's a bit like probably the worst time for it to happen.
I think there's a couple of points in common that we, you know, that you touch on. I think the first thing I would say is he's been doing, he did what he's been doing since he came in. Like, we've had injury problems. He's been, he calls it finding solutions or whatever. Basically, putting players in either out of the cold or out of position and asking them to do him a favour. And by and large, it's worked. Unfortunately for him, in the two occasions that you point out, it didn't work. I think the odds were probably, you know, against him in that sense that it was never going to work every time all season and going to win the treble because every wee gamble he takes pays off. There was always going to be some that wouldn't. Personally, I know what you're saying about Scott Wright, and I think he was the biggest problem at Ibrox in the first half against Celtic. Like, I would have taken him off 100%, but he would have been third or fourth choice. Had have been taken off others as well, including the guy in the other wing who did as much good stuff, which is to say nothing, but did a lot of worse stuff in Fabio Silva. I think that he'd have been off quicker. But you could have taken any of them off, really, you know, like pretty much the outfield players that started the game, Dujon Stelling. The only one that could look himself in the mirror and say he did everything he could. Maybe Big Dessers ran. Did Dessers start a firm game or wasn't it? I think he did. I think he was running a bit mad, but still probably not enough. You know, like it could have been anybody. So he's definitely been getting things wrong a bit. I think that he needs to learn about his players and all that sort of stuff, but he needs to do it quickly. This is Rangers, you know. You don't get, you can't give some of these boys 6 months or 20 chances or anything like that. It's got to be learn fast and move on, as cutthroat as that might be. That's life at this football club, you know. And that's not to say you bring all the players, maybe you take them out of the limelight and bring them back in 10 games and you use them as a sub or whatever, but you know, he needs to learn. I think he has, you know, to an extent. If you're saying, oh, he's played the boy in, he's not in the squad the next week, maybe he's realised, like, that didn't work. Just need to take the guy out, take a wee bit of pressure off the boy, learn myself, he's not the right answer, and try something different or move on. Again, within reason, you don't want to be the coach that's just trying something different every week, try to see what sticks. He's got to have a bit of belief in himself, and I think he has. He's stuck largely to his way of playing and that sort of stuff. So I think he's done all right. It's just, for me, he's been taking gambles all season that I don't think were always going to pay off. But that being said, I think all of those factors come into play with he needs to beat Celtic in this season, because if he goes and he loses four, he's, you know, or he fails to win in his first four, three defeats and a draw, for example, or something like that, that's no good. He doesn't get that amount of time to learn. And so far, I think that the two games have been played out in a similar manner. The fact that the scorelines have been different is kind of irrelevant to me. They've been played in a similar manner. He needs to learn about that pretty quickly and demand it for the team. Maybe he does know, but the players just on the executing, because they executed the first half against Celtic like they did the first half against Ross County and the first half against Dundee. So maybe it's not on him. As you say, he can fire them up, but he can't run in the park. Just can.
Yeah. I think it shows you that obviously he's done very well to get what he's done out of this squad, but this squad needs, you know, it does need clear out. I think there's a number of players, which we'll probably do a podcast on about the number of players that we think need cleared out and stuff like that. But there is, there is a number of players, and I think he probably realises that, Keith, because obviously they've let him down. You know, looking at the situation, you know, with certain players, there's a number of players in there that have let him down, even though he's done remarkably well. There's players that have let him down during this time, and players who will leave, which is a good thing, as well, and seeing getting some fresh faces in and getting his team in as well, which will be really good. But let's try and get a bit of better mood now. Will we have a chat about Sunday?
Just quickly, ask me anything else on the leadership group, and I suppose I would just state the obvious that Ross County, and in particular Dundee, I felt like we lacked leadership and ownership. I think Todd Cantwell was maybe trying it a wee bit, but who was trying to make something happen? Like, if you watch the last 10 minutes of both of those games, who Rangers has gone, we need our goal, we need to make something happen? Pretty much nobody.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't like. I think that's when you look at your Goldsons and your Tavs or whatever, you expect them to step up, not just be fanning about with it at the back or whatever. You know, like, you need somebody that's going to just demand. Imagine you put Barry Ferguson on that park or something, right? He's going to be like, right, you, give me the ball. Fuck it, move up there. You, boof, you know, just commanding and just, right, give me it. I'll do it myself and try to make something happen and inspiring others around about them. We don't have that.
No.
We don't have that.
No, we don't have anybody like that now, which is really disappointing. It's a sorry state, you know, a play, considering, you know, we're in this title challenge now. You know, it's sort of, I mean, it's a very much a damning effect on, you know, what the state of play Beale left us in, but we've spoken about that before, and, you know, speak about it until we're blue in the face almost with it. But aye, let's go on to... let's go on to Hearts. Let's get a bit of cheerier note in there. Two nothing winners, you know, getting the early goal, you know, sort of, well, let's talk about the team first, obviously, before we do that. You know, like we mentioned, Connor Goldson did drop out in there, and also we had the return of Diamandé, but other than who else? You know, Sima was in, Matondo started instead of Fabio Silva. As well. So just a couple of the ones I want to talk about. First of all, the defensive thing. I thought that Balogun was outstanding. I've always liked Leon Balogun. You know, I said that, Keith, as well. We spoke of this before. I'd have never let him go. You know, when Gio did, I'd have kept him. I really like him, but it's just the fact that he's just that bit older. You know, he's 34 or 35, I think he is. And he's, you know... But he's just so dependable and so calm and composed on the ball. And I thought he had a great game. Whereas I think Suter took the Goldson role, where he was, you know, I thought Suter was all over the place half the time. Couple of mistakes in him. He does have mistakes in him, but I thought that was one of Suter's poorer games. But I thought Balogun was outstanding. Like I mentioned with the midfield, you know, having Lundstrom and Diamandé, I thought Diamandé played well, and it shows you what he brings to this team now as well. And the other one that I wanted to sort of talk about was Matondo, who has been, you know, obviously people have been saying start him after his goal against Tibbs and his goal against Celtic. However, I thought he was non-existent. You know, there was plenty of opportunities that I thought that when he had the ball, there was loads of space in behind the fullback, and he just wasn't capitalising on it. You know, at points you were like, just hit the ball by him and run. That's what you're good at. You know, you're rapid. You know, use what you're good at. Use what you've got. You know, use your speed. And he just didn't do it in there as well. So Keith, what did you make of the team? Am I talking rubbish here, or else do you agree with any of that?
No. I was happy to see. I think Goldson getting dropped was the right call. Rested, dropped. Shite jobby, as far as I'm concerned.
So,
and then Silva coming out. God, thank God that had to happen, didn't it? Let's be honest. Fabio Silva's not had a good run. I think he was poor against Hibs. I wouldn't have played him against Celtic. He was really poor against Celtic. He deserved dropped. to play them the next two games is unthinkable, if I'm being totally honest. Maybe it was just lack of options, but pretty unthinkable, especially considering Matondo come on and scored the goals against Hibs and Celtic. I think if you were going to put him in, then you might have done it sooner. But anyway, those two in particular for me were people that I was wanting to see out the team. Balogun coming in made sense. Matondo coming in kind of made sense. Like you, I'm not convinced he's ready to be a starter. I think the problem with Matondo first is his instincts. He's obviously got technical ability and pace, like you said, but he doesn't. I don't know if it, the nice way of saying it, maybe he doesn't know quite how to utilise it. Personally, I think the truth is he's a bit of a shite bag. Yeah. I think, see, if he had Neil McCann's spirit, you'd probably have something. But he doesn't, and it's not just like, I mean, watch him get into a tackle or try to go shoulder to shoulder with somebody, he might as well not be there. But it's not even just that, it's the killer instinct to, as you say, just immediately attack. That's what you should see. If I had his ability, first thing I'd be doing is attacking everybody, just run at them, just go, as soon as I get the ball, turn and go or whatever. But he doesn't, his first thoughts always take a touch, look back, reset it. He doesn't have a killer instinct in any regard. So that I don't know. Maybe you give him 10, 15, 20 games and he builds confidence and that comes. Maybe it is in there and they see it in training, but he just isn't he translating onto the pitch. I don't know. But from what I see in the pitch, I would say he's, in Scottish terms, he's a shite bag. Yeah. That's his problem. And I think that's a trouble to be a starter. When you come on against tired defences, that one time out of 10, he gets the bond as a wee shimmy. He gets himself half a yard and then get a shot away. That's how he got his goals. Brilliant. But maybe that means that until he finds that within himself, he's no more than an impact sub. I think is what it looks like to me. As I say, unless you want to be fair to the kid and go and get him 10, 15 games in a row, because he's never had that. You know, he's never had a run in the Rangers team. Maybe that's what he needs. I don't know. But he's not going to get that now. There's six games left. So
yep.
I think that does give you a wee bit of a problem, especially if Seema's injured, because starting Fabio Silva at left wing for the next six games doesn't fill me with any confidence either. So
no.
And this is us back to Clement needs to find solutions, because the squad's doesn't have the wingers that he would like numbers-wise, and then you've got Cortez injured, Seema may be injured, and when you've only got two and they're both injured, well, then you're really screwed and you're looking at Scott Wright's and Ross McCausland's and stuff like that, aren't you? So, tricky. But no, I suppose to answer your question, I thought the team was better. I don't know if it was perfect, but it was better on Sunday.
Yeah.
I felt happy seeing it.
Yeah, I was happy seeing it. And then obviously we get the early goal from Dessers, which was a good goal. He done well with it when you thought that at points when you seen the, it looked like a free kick to Rangers, but then the referee never gave. But Tav played on anyway. Good. I thought that was well done by Tav. You know, good to play on, pass the ball into Cantwell. Cantwell slots into Dessers. It looked like he fucked it up and then he slots in the back of the net early doors, which was good. And then, 10 minutes later, we see the disappointment of, Big Simmer coming off as well. And we hope it's nothing serious, because we really need him. We've seen how importantly has been to the team. And then young McCausland came on, who seemed to be McCausland. I thought it was a really weird display from McCausland, because he seemed to be able to cope with, he seemed to be over, you know, it was like his defensive responsibilities were overtaking his attacking responsibilities, which you usually never see from a winger. He always seemed to check back. I was like, just take him on, see what happens. But he never seemed to do that. But yeah, it was, Hearts came into it a wee bit, but I thought Hearts might have went for a juggler a bit more than what they did, Keith, to be honest with you. I thought that the pressure, they had a wee bit in the first half, and then towards the end of the start of the second half, they'd done everything. But other than that, I thought Rangers were comfortable. First of all, what did you make a, obviously Big Simmer coming off and then McCausland coming on. What did you make of McCausland's performance? Did you expect him to Do you think Kyle Osley, he's done well this season, but do you see him being the answer for the future right winger for the club?
First of all, Semaganov is a sore one. I felt like we looked really good, and like, you know, we started like we've been asking for the last few games anyway. There was a bit of urgency. We were at them. We'd scored early. We looked dangerous when we went forward. I think when Sema went off, we went a bit flat. And like you say, Hearts come into it a wee bit. And for the next 10, 15 minutes, the Hearts were the better side. Not really giving us any major threats apart from the one that Butland saves, so the boys offside, which was a remarkable save. Watching it in the stadium, obviously, we don't know the boys offside. And you're just like, man, what a save. Was crazy reflexes, because there's absolutely no, he's got no right to save that. And then I thought we kind of got back into it a wee bit, got the ball down, kept a hold of it. You know, we were just, the amount of times that when McCausland come on, I don't know if you noticed this, we were still playing him like it. We must have had the tactic of, well, it's Seema, so what we're going to do is we're going to put high balls into that channel. And McCausland just, he get bit, the guy was beating him in the air every single time. What's the point? You know, like the guy was bigger, and McCausland, he's got this habit of jumping. And then, like, he sort of ducks and puts his back into the guy. You know, he just kind of make the contact rather than win the header. And he was getting nothing, no change at all. So I don't know. I don't think that helped us. But then when we started, like, let's just play a wee bit of football, we came back into it and finished the half. I felt the stronger side. McCausland, I would agree. I think when he came on, he defensively worked hard and, you know, he did all right. Going forward, he offered nothing. My fear with Ross McCausland, obviously, he's young. I think when it comes to his, as you say, confidence and ability to take on a man and then deliver a shot, a cross, a pass, he's got to deliver something. He's got to develop that in the summer, because otherwise, he's Glenn Middleton on the right-hand side for me. He started well. He looked like he had a wee bit of something. Then the pros have figured him out and he's done nothing. That was Glenn Middleton, right? So that's my concern, is that he'll end up at St Johnson or Dundee United or whatever Glenn Middleton is now, in the a division down, because he's not showing that he's got the level. He is young, he's not played a lot of games, he's developing, and you can see his development mostly in the defensive side of his game. So that's good, because that was a bigger weakness. But for me, we need to see more out of him going forward if he's going to become a mainstay or any sort of feature in a Rangers squad. That's my feelings on him. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to, you know, we need to see what he was like at the start, where he didn't have any fear and he was like, you know, taking players on and trying to get to the byline and stuff like that. That's what we need to see from him, being a bit more adventurous, which just seems to have, you know, not disappeared out of his game, but sort of seems like he's, you know, has obviously been training, you know, his defensive side of things, which what he needed to do. But it seems like there's a bit too much focus on that.
That's it. People often work on their weaknesses, but you can't neglect what you're good at, because it's like a muscle. You use it or lose it, you know. So maybe that has been it. Maybe it's been a focus training-wise on his weaknesses, and then they'll get back to his pros and he'll get better again. But if he doesn't get better again, I don't think he's got a long-term future as a Rangers first-teamer.
No, me either, mate. Me either. And then obviously the second half, Hearts come out well, start well. You know, Butland again makes a good save in there. But then after that, you know, I thought it was easy street for Rangers until we actually got the second goal. And again, it's our man Dessers, who's on 19 now for the season. Again, people are saying, you know, 19 is a good record, but when you think about the goals that the man could have had, he could have been on at least 40 with some of the opportunities that he's had. But yeah, he slots it away well, so fair play to him. And, you know, that's us in the final.
I know. Imagine Big Dessers had done the Marco Negri, man, and just took every chance.
I know.
It would have been frightening. He leads us in goals, and he leads us in nearly goals, probably. But, you know, he is what he is. You know, he's got a good attitude. He's a likeable big guy with limited finishing ability, you would say. And sometimes he looks really calm in the box, like with his first goal. And then other times, I don't know if it's that he panics or he's too calm. I can't quite decide. Sometimes he looks like he's too calm and takes too long to get a shot away. Other time he looks frozen and he doesn't know what to do. But either way, the result's the same. He's going to be that guy. He's going to need three chances to score one, but or five to score one. The crazy thing is, though, how much different was Alfredo for most of his Rangers career? He missed sitters, especially against Celtic. I mean, how long did it take him to score against Celtic? Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just the level of striker we're going to get. I'd like to think we get somebody a bit less frustrating than Dessers, but for what he's been, and same one, I think for him, it would have been easy for him to feign an injury because he was getting pelters at one point, but he's always available, he's always there, he's always trying, he's always smiling. You give him a big chant or you abuse him and he just smiles, it's water off a duck's back, he's up there trying to get another chance and try to score again. So, you know, a lot of credit to him, and that's why he's got 19, and hopefully goes and gets another few, and we have a good season. But the big man, he's an enigma.
Yes, I think that's why a lot of Rangers fans respect him, because he is available and he doesn't streak away from anything. He has been available, you know, pretty much all season, which is what we've needed somebody, because we've had, you know, Danilo's hardly been fit. Roof's hardly been fit, you know, so he's the only one there. However, it does show us that, you know, this season's shown us that the big man isn't the answer to be our number nine. And it also shows us that, you know, we do need to drastically improve that position in the summer. You know, fair enough, he has bailed us out. And like you were saying about his play, you know, for me, he's a bit like, he doesn't, when he's got time on the ball, he's, you know, it seems like a million things go through his head, and you know he ends up doing the wrong thing. Whereas when he doesn't have time to think about it, you know, like the Betis goal for Tottenham's sake, you know, the Betis away goal, where he rounded the play, you know, he skinned the player and then slotted it by the goalie. That's at points where, you know, he sort of instincts kick in, and he does look decent. However, you know, when he gets time to think about it, I think you're just like, God, it's like he has a brain fart or something like that. And he's, you know, but I don't think, you know, fair play him. He has done well, and he has came back from, you know, from adversity when everybody's saying get him out. He was sort of tarred with the same brush as Lammers. Whereas, you know, now I think the players, the fans respect him a bit more, definitely.
Aye, no, definitely. And like you say, first choice, not for me, but if he's in our squad next year as a centre forward who can come off the bench, which he's shown he can do, or you can play him in games, because you're going to need rotation. He's always available. He will get you goals. He'll never stop trying. You know, like, there's qualities there where you think if he's in our squad next year, I wouldn't be upset. If he's our only striker and we're in the same position, yes, that's a different story. But if he's in there and we sign another number nine that comes in as the main man and Dessers as the backup, I would have no real issues with that. He's shown he's good enough at SPFL level, and he's always available. It's not like you've got Roof hoping he's going to be fit 10 games a season. You know what I mean? There's stuff there you can work with for me. So I've got a lot of time for the big man. He's earned the respect, I think, and I wouldn't be gutted if he's here next year.
Yeah. I think he deserves, you know, he deserves his place, you know, next season. But like you said, definitely not his first choice.
No.
Number nine, you know, if we can get someone else in there, then, you know, which I think Big Phil's probably already looking at, then happy days, and we can get something done. But then obviously that leads us on to Keith now. Obviously, you know, good result, bit of confidence back in the team, back in the, you know, back at a final, or, you know, Scottish Cup final again, and obviously it's the first one in 20 odd years against them as well, which will be, you know, as always, it's always a, you know, a rowdy occasion to say to play them. We've also got to play them twice now before the end of the season, so it's going to be an interesting one. But it did, I think we needed a decent performance, you know, maybe not a, you know, an amazing performance, but it was a decent performance, and I think that's what we got to sort of build on now, you know, to sort of look ahead to Sunday. And lot of the remaining games that are coming up.
Aye, we needed it. I mean, if we had lost it, you would really fear for the season. Yep. Winning it doesn't mean a huge amount. You know, it's a cup tie, it's Hearts. I don't think that they ever really looked like they believed, you know, because their record against them has been good, especially in the cups. So, you know, it's too small a data sample to say that we can take a lot from it. But if we had lost it, then it would have continued the trend and you really would worry. As always, the most important game is the next one. So we need to see if we can use it as a platform, if the players have taken the confidence from it. That and having like a week off between all the games will get his people fresher. It's more time for tactics. It's more time to get people back for injuries and give people like goals. And if he needed a rest because he's played too much football, well, everybody's got a week off. So hopefully that sees us get stronger and we can kick on and find another level for these next five games. And if we do, or the next six games, then I would think this Hearts game will be part of the foundation. So hopefully that is what it is and it's not just an aberration because it was a cup and then we go back into the league and shit the bed again.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we need to, focus on. Obviously Sunday's going to be a tricky game as well because you know, St Mirren are no bad team. They've done well this season to get where they are, but we need to show that we're a better team.
This is a post-split, isn't it? They're all tough games, really. Yep. I mean, some seasons maybe more so than others, but you're playing against the other best five sides, and we've got three away games, so it's never going to be easy, man. I think that the timing's interesting. We play first on Sunday, so hopefully we can, if we go and win, you apply a bit of pressure. If you don't, well, then you take a lot of pressure off and they're at home, obviously, so that could be the final nail almost. But massive game, and we really need to find a way to win it. Ideally, you might win it by quite a few and put a bit of pressure on regarding goal difference, but just anyone at all.
Yep. Just to win and keep it alive and go for there. Because I think are they away to Dundee on Sunday?
I thought they were at home to somebody.
Let me just double check.
We're away, so they would probably be at home, no?
Sunday. No, they're away to Dundee as well.
Are they? Well, that's...
Yeah.
So they're away to Dundee at what, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock
or
something?
Yeah, 3 o'clock they're away at, and we're obviously half past 12.
Well, that makes it interesting then, you know, that pitch. Dundee played attacking football. They're no great at the back. You never know, you know, go and win, put a couple of goals in. That's the thing. They drew with Aberdeen at the weekend, who are only in the top six. You know, they beat them on penalties, but by league football, that's a draw. So they're not infallible. This isn't, you know, Ange Postecoglou's side that they're absolute pinnacle, where they're just brushing everybody aside 4-5-0 and all that. This is a team that they can drop points. I mean, we can drop as many points or more. That's the challenge for us, is probably winning our five games and beating them. But if you take the Old Firm game at it, there's every chance they'll drop points the same as us. So
it's definitely an over.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Aye. Aye.
I was thinking about today, actually. And whenever it was 20 years ago or whatever, you know, that... It wasn't that long ago, it was the anniversary, you know, just like the other day, I think, was it the weekend, was 20 years or 15 years or how many years it is since they beat us at Ibrox to go 5 points clear with four games left. And that was a strong Celtic side. It was a bang average Rangers team that had no right winning a league. And we were 5 points back with four games to play, and somehow we won the league. So as Big Marv was always chanting back then, just keep believing, because you never know, stranger things have happened in this league, never mind in football in general. So it is definitely not over.
No, I don't think it is over. You know, it's still, you know, there's still games to play and stuff like that. And, you know, both teams do have mistakes in them. You know, they do have mistakes in them, and they do have games that are difficult, you know, that they have lost points in. You know, it seems to be Kilmarnock have been a pretty big bogey team for them this season. They've got to go to Rugby Park. As well, which isn't an easy, it's never an easy place to go to. So it's, and they've got Hearts have been a bit of a bogey team to them as well. You know, Hearts beat them at Parkhead as well. So there is still to play for. You know, the only thing is I don't like it when we're having to rely on other teams to help us, you know, to win the league. It's better when it's on our shoulders, but
nobody likes to need snookers.
Yeah, which is disappointing considering those two, you know, Dundee and Ross County games. You know, if we were there, we'd have been all right. You could afford to, you know, drop points at Parkhead even though you don't want to, but that's it.
A draw would have been enough.
Yeah, a draw would have been enough, you know what I mean? So, Aisha.
What would your team be, conscious of time, what would your team be for Sunday?
Sunday, it would be fairly similar to the team that we played on Sunday there.
Let's assume Seema's injured though, right? Because we don't know, hopefully he's not, but let's assume he's injured just on the off chance.
Right, so it'd be Butland, Tav. It would probably be, looking at it, I think my centre-half pairing going ahead, if I had to pick it, would be Goldson and Balogun. But I think Goldson still needs a bit of time out of the team. You know, I'd still play Souter. So I think for this game, it would be Balogun and Souter. And then it depends if Ridvan's back. If Ridvan's back, he comes in and Sterling goes into midfield. If he's not, then Sterling plays left back. And then the midfield would be, let's say, if Ridvan came in, I'd play Sterling and I'd play Diamande in the midfield. Cantwell would be my number 10. Dessers would be my number 9. And the wingers are the ones that are interested because you don't know if Simmer's back, who would it be in there? I wouldn't play Matondo because I thought he was honking on Sunday. I think he would be back on the bench. So it would probably be McCausland and Simmer, or Simmer and, you know, someone else. Just depends who's fit, Keith, as well. We don't know that yet because we still haven't heard the press conference or anything like that. So it's still early days to see who's fit. But we could tell you who I wouldn't play, and that would be most of the ones there I wouldn't play. What about you? What would you think?
It's similar. I think you're probably looking at Goldson and Balogun as your centre-halves for the rest of the season. Whether that starts on Sunday or not, to your point, we can debate. But I think seen enough to know that, for me, Balogun's the best of them.
Yep.
So he's got to start. Goldson's more likely to start every game than Souter. Souter, you know, does have a shaky moment pretty much every game. And Hearts had a shaky 20 minutes. And the rest of his game wasn't particularly great, but in particular, there was a spell at the start of the second half where I think he had three or four bomb scares in a row, and you thought, God, you don't know what's going to happen here. Get a centre-half out warming up because you might need to take him off, or otherwise he's going to be kamikaze in it here. So, I'd agree. Hopefully, Ridvan's back. That's a game-changer because it lets you then put Sterling into the midfield, or if you're struggling, it maybe even lets you put Sterling at right wing.
Yeah.
And then all you need is Seema on the left if he's fit, or McCausland, or Fabio Silva if you're totally adverse to Rabi Matondo. I know Rabi didn't give anything on Sunday. I'm not so sure he was any worse than Silva's been in the last few games. Maybe it's a toss-up. Maybe Silva getting a rest, he comes in and he's a bit better because he was on international duty, and since then he's maybe been tired and that's why his form's dropped. We don't know all these things because we're knowing about it. So let's see. But I would expect he'll probably play Silva. I don't think he'll drop him completely. Maybe he will, but I think he's likely to come back in.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be all interesting. Let's see. It's a tricky one. You know, it's a tricky one that he's got to do. But all we can do is put our faith in the manager, Keith, mate. And I think that's us just coming up to the hour mark, mate. So that's a good place to call it, isn't it?
Aye, like you say, faith in the big man.
Yep.
3 points on Sunday.
Yes, in full we trust. Come on, let's get the 3 points and then worry about the next week after that, mate. But me and you will be back again next week, unless we're raging again to discuss all things Rangers. But until then, we'll be back next week. Until that, cheers, guys, and cheers, Keith. Thanks very much.
Aye, cheers, mate. Thanks for having. I appreciate everybody's time listening. Cheers all.
Cheers, have a good one.